Okay, we are broadcasting live from the Bite. Shkoyach to everyone who managed to make it out in the rain. You know, our friends at home would like to let you know we'd love to have you here in the future. Shkoyach for listening. Tonight's Amud is Gimel Amud Aleph. We'll just start from the two dots on Bet Mabet that Eitan explained yesterday. So, two dots. Amar Mar, Amar Le Rabbi Yehuda, Baloko Hanim Bod Yom Him Tovlim. Right, so we saw yesterday a whole list of opinions as to when, as to, you know, the different times approximately where you could start saying Kriyat Shema. And one of the opinions was Rabbi Meir, and he said that, right, what did he say? That that it's from the time where the Kohanim would go, would Tovel in the Mikvah to become Tar, right? And the problem with that is that they had to, you know, go in the mikvah while it was still day out. So therefore, how could it be that you could start Kriyat Shema if it was still light outside? Shabir kamar le Rabbi Yehuda le Rabbi Meir. So it's a good point that Rabbi Yehuda made on Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, hachi kamar le. So Rabbi Meir would respond to him, misavar de'ana abena shmasha didach kamina. Who says that I hold, according to your opinion of bena shmasha? Ana abena shmasha de Rabbi Yossi kamina. I hold, according to the bena shmasha of Rabbi Yossi, Deama Rabbi Yossi, Ben Hashmashot, Kiharavayin, right? Ben Hashmashot is like the blink of an eye, Zen Nichnas V'Ze Yose, right? It goes right from dark, from light to dark. The EF Sharlom Mod 11, it's impossible to be able to, you know, use that as a way to, as a means to judge, as a, you know, scale when it's night and when it's dark, when it's light and when it's dark. So, now we say Kasha Dura Mera Dura Mera. Okay, so fine, if that's, you know, you can explain it like that. But now we have a Kasha Dura Mera Dura Mera, right? Because according to the way that we just explained Rabbi Meir, so therefore you could start Kriyat Shema right before it becomes dark out, which is Bein Hashmasha goes like that from light to day. So even though it's still light out, it's basically good enough that now it's close enough to nighttime, although that's still before Seder Kochavim. Right, and we have the Rabbi Meir and earlier on in the Brayta where he says that that Kriyat Shema is when people start eating their suda on Shabbos. So obviously that's, you know, after Seisa Kochavim. So the first Rabbi Meir that we just explained, he says it's before Seisa Kochavim, and over here now Rabbi Meir is explaining that it's after Seis. Okay, so the Gemara continues, Trade Tanai Aliba the Rabbi Meir. So they're two Tanaim, and they understand Rabbi Meir differently. So that's why we have two different recordings of Rabbi Meir. Now we have a similar problem. Kasha de Rabbi Eliezer de Rabbi Eliezer. Now we have, you know, a problem with Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Eliezer, because seemingly they're both, we have the same case where Rabbi Eliezer is saying, right, we have two brides where he refers to Rabbi Eliezer, says that you can say Kriyat Shema when people are Mekadesh, the, you know, Shabbos. And then we also have Rabbi Eliezer who says that Kriyat Shema is before Seder Kochavim. So now, right, again, a case where we have Kriyat Shema, you can say it before Seis, and a case where you can say it after Seis. So then we explain, Trade Tanai Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer, right? So two different, Tanai understand Rabbi Eliezer differently. That was based on the Rabbi Eliezer that we saw in the Mishnah. Right, the Mishnah starts off. So we're assuming that Rabbi Eliezer says that entire segment right there. But then, Reisha love Rabbi Eliezer. You can also explain that the Reisha is actually not Rabbi Eliezer. It's really that last part that says Ad Sof Hashmer Rishona. And you know, Meimatai Korin Shema Be'Arvin Mishasho Shekonim Nichasim LaChabat Shumatan. That's not Rabbi Eliezer. So therefore, that would also be a way to reconcile this problem. Okay, fine. So that was yesterday. Okay, so starting now, in the top of Gimel Amud Aleph from two dots. Okay, so Ma'ika Savar Rabbi Eliezer, right? What is Rabbi Eliezer saying? Ika Savar Shlosh Mishmar Havei Laila Leimad Arbashal, right? Up until now, we've been talking about when you can start saying Kriyat Shema. Now we're talking about, you know, until when can you say Kriyat Shema? Okay, so the Mishnah, you know, quotes Ad Sof Hashmara. So the question is, what does that mean exactly? What is that Sof Hashmara Rishona? What is that Hashmara? Okay, fine. So you know, why can't you just say, if you're talking about Ikasavar Shlosh Mishmara Havei Laila, that the night is separated into three different Mishmara, Lema ad arba shot. So why can't you just say until arba shot, right? The e kasavar arba mishmar ave laila lema ad shalosh shot. And if you say that the night is divided into four mishmarot, so then say that it's up until the first 3 hours of the night, because people don't understand what mishmarot is, right? It's a lot easier to say hours, right? The first 3 hours, the first 4 hours, as opposed to what is Rabbi Eliezer getting out of the fact that he's using mishmarot? Okay, so if you look at Rashi, explains that the night is separated into different times where the malachim are singing shira. Right? And there's a machloka later on, I think we'll see on Gimel and Bet, where they argue as to how many mishmarot the night is divided into. So either it's divided into three mishmarot or it's divided into four mishmarot. Either case, it would be either 4 hours each segment or 3 hours each segment. So the question is, why doesn't Rabbi Eliezer explain it as in terms of hours as opposed to mishmarot? Okay. Lo'olam kasavar shalosh mishmarot ave laila. So really, he holds that it's the night is divided into three watches. The Hakamash Malan, right, he's trying to teach the Eka Mishmar Berakia, the Eka Mishmar Be'ara. Based on the fact that he's using the wording of Mishmar, he's trying to teach us that there are Mishmar in the Rakia, up in Shemaim, there are Mishmar down here that we can be able to tell on earth as to when those different watches are. And there's a Machloket in Rashi and the Rosh, where the Rosh explain Rashi. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi behakamash malan kishenatan lecha siman zmana kriya b'sof hashmarav v'lo pirish lecha siman beforish lamdecha sheyesh heker lekol adam b'davar kihech de'eke berakia. So Rashi understands that just like that, basically we're learning out from the fact that there are watches in the rakia, so therefore they're also down here in the ara. So the rakia is like the main one, and the ones down in the ara are the ones we learn out from the rakia. So the Rosh says the opposite. The Rosh says that we have the mishmart in the ara, and that is where we learn the mishmart of the rakia. They're the same ones. What's the chiddush of, like, we have the established what the mishmart are, and then we're learning out that they're mishmarot somewhere else. So either we know that they're in the rakia and we're learning it out from the rakia to apply to the ara, or we know that it's in the ara and we're learning it out to apply to the rakia. So that's the machloket Rashi and the Rosh. Okay. Mishmar. Okay, fine. D'tanya Rabbi Eliezer Amer Shalosh Mishmarot Havei Laila. Well, Kol Mishmar Mishmar Yoshev Kadosh Baruch Hu V'Shoei Kari. Right. Rabbi Eliezer says that they're three different watches during the night, and at each and every watch, Hashem cries out like a lion. Shneamar, Hashem imarom yishag mimaon kadsho yiten kolo shog yishag al naveu. Right. So the fact that it says in that pasuk, Hashem cries out from up above, and he cries out, and again it says yishag. So right, the fact that it says yishag three times, so therefore we know based on that there are three different mishmarot that happens. The simulan davar, right? And we have now we can understand that we have a sign for that mishmar rishona chamor noar, right? The first mishmar is the first watch is when a donkey starts to bray. I guess it's in the middle of the night. I've never seen a donkey outside before, so I don't know when that is. Shnia kelavim soakim, right? The second mishmar is when the dogs start barking. And shlishi tinok yonek mistei imo, right? A baby starts to be fed by his mother. The isha mesuperin bala, and a woman starts talking to her husband. Rashi explains that people wake up in the morning and they're talking to each other when they're lying next to each other. So that's the early hours of the morning. Okay. So Makachashi Rabbi Eliezer, right? So okay, now another question on Rabbi Eliezer, right? What's he talking about here? What's the point of teaching us these three mishmara? Itchila mishmara kachashiv. If these times represent the beginning of the mishmara, tchila mishmara rishona simna lamali. So why do we need the beginning? Why do we need a sign to represent the first mishmar, the first watch, right? Ortahi, Rashi explains that Orta is Seisa Kochavim. Right? So we don't need a sign for that. We don't need to know that, obviously that the first watch starts when it's Seisa Kochavim. Okay, fine. So that's a problem. Mishmar Kachashiv, but if he's giving the signs to represent the end of the Mishmar, Sof Mishmar Achrona Lamali Simna, right? Then why do we need a sign for the last watch? Yimamahi, right? That's just, you know, a lot of shachar, right? Obviously, that's when, you know, that's when the night is over. So therefore, we don't need a specific, you know, sign to explain that to us. We just know that when it's a lot of shachar, that's when the night is over. Ela Chashiv Sof Mishmar Rishona. Okay, so really what he's explaining is that it's a Sof Mishmar Rishona. It's the end of the first watch. Utchila Mishmar Achrona. It's the beginning of the last watch. The Amsiyate, right? It's the middle of the middle watch. Okay, so we have the three signs. One, the first sign represents the end of the first watch. The second sign represents the middle of the middle watch. And the third sign represents the beginning of the final watch. The Ibai Deima Kulu Sof Mishmar Kachashi V'chitem Achrona Lotzarech. Right? And okay, or you could say that really they're all the end of the watches. So then, why do you need the end of the chitem achrona latzarich? Then you don't need the end of the last one. L'mayin afkimina. So what do we learn from that? What's the difference? What's the case where it teaches us? L'mikra kriyashma l'man degana bebayit avel v'loya das man kriyashma. Right. So that's for a person who's, you know, sleeping in a dark house, and he doesn't know what time he should start saying Kriyat Shema. So now he doesn't know that it's light outside because he's in a dark house. He's supposed to start saying Kriyat Shema when it starts getting light outside. So he knows, right? Right. So he knows that at that time, when a baby starts nursing and when a woman starts speaking with her husband, that's when he should, you know, get up and start saying Kriyat Shema. I don't understand how he's going to speak with his wife if he's supposed to be saying Kriyat Shema, but that's besides the point. Okay, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel, Mishmei Rav Shlosha Mishmar Havei Laila. Right, so we're, you know, explaining this further. The three watches in the night, Val Kol Mishmar Mishmar Yoshev Hakadosh Baruch Hu Shoei Kari, and at every watch, Hashem cries out like a lion. VeOmer Oil Abanim Shebeonateim Herchavti Et Beiti VeSerafti Et Heichali VeHaglitim LeBein Umot HaOlam. Right. Oi to my sons, that because of their sins I've, you know, destroyed my house, I've burnt my heicha, and I've exiled them to the rest, to outside of the world, to all the other nations. So, you know, the question, I saw this question that why is it that we have, why do we have to know when the middle of the middle watch is? What's the point of that? Obviously, you know, we have to know when the different watches are, but what's the point of explaining the middle of the middle watch? So really the explanation for the watches is that I forget where I saw this, but basically that because Hashem is crying out at those times for the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, those are key times when we, you know, obviously at that time Hashem is so upset at the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, so that's a key time for us to be, you know, praying for the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash, when Hashem is feeling that way as well. Okay, so now we're gonna have a related story. Okay, Tanya, this is when this is Brachos gets very interesting now. We're gonna have a lot of Agadata coming up. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Pamachat Hayiti Mehalech Bederech. Right, Rabbi Yossi says, one time I was walking along the way, and I went inside the Chorva Yerushalayim. I went inside one of the ruins of Yerushalayim, one of the Chorva Yerushalayim, to go daven. It's not talking about the Chorva that is so beautifully built in the Rova at this moment. It's talking about the actual, you know, destroyed buildings of Yerushalayim. Ba Eliyahu Zarcha Latov v'shamar li al ha-pedach. Right, Eliyahu Zarcha Latov came, and he was standing by the entrance. Ad shesiyamti tefilati, until I finished my davening. Lachar shesiyamti tefilati, Amar li shalom alecha rabbi. Right after I finished davening, he said to me, shalom alecha rabbi. The amarti lo shalom alecha rabbi mori, and I replied to him, shalom alecha rabbi mori. The Amar li bini, he said to me, son, ibnei mad nichnasa lechorva zo. Why did you go into this chorva? Amarti lo li palal. The Amar Li Hayalach Ali Palaba Derech. Right, he said to me, you should have davened on the way. Later on, I think also on Gimel and Bet, we're gonna see that it's also for somebody to go into a chorva. Right, so that's one of the reasons why Eliyahu was so upset. And obviously, Rabbi Yossi should have known this, but Rabbi Yossi thought that because he was a shliach mitzvah, because he was going to daven. So we know in Pesachim there's the whole sugya about a shliach mitzvah is is not going to be, is not going to be affected by any danger along the way. So he thought that because he was going to daven, because he was going to do a mitzvah, so therefore he wouldn't be affected by the danger of davening and of being in a chorba. So Eliyahu was coming to teach him, know that he was wrong in what he did. Okay, so what did he say? Okay, or you could have davened on the way. Right? I thought that people were walking by and they were gonna, interrupt me. And okay, and as I was walking in, Rabbi Greenberg explained something really nice to me that he quoted Rav Kook in Ayah, who says that why was Eliyahu so upset? Eliyahu was so upset because his reason for going to the Chorva was because he wanted to be away from, he didn't want passerbys to interrupt him. And Eliyahu was saying, no, exactly the opposite. You should have been outside on the streets and showing people that you were davening so that you could encourage them to daven also. So that's, a nice little idea there. Okay, fine. So then what did he say to him? You could have said it, tefillah k'sara. At that time, I learned from him three things. I learned that you don't go inside a chorva. I learned that you're supposed to daven as you're along a journey. I learned that somebody who's on a journey is supposed to daven tefillah k'sara. Right. Let's see what tefillah k'sara is. Rashi says, "Havinenu will come in mefarish la beperik tefillah hashachar." So we're going to see later on exactly in perik tefillah hashachar. It's going to discuss what that means. What exactly is a tefillah k'sara? Okay. I saw a really interesting idea just to explain with this whole. I like to get a better understanding of what Agadita is all about. So I saw a really cool idea in one of the footnotes in the art scroll that they said that they quoted Rabbi Yaakov Ibn Chaviv, and basically he explained the whole episode as basically Rabbi Yossi was it's exactly connects to what we were talking about before about Hashem crying out about the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. So Rabbi Yossi was also so upset about the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. So he decided that he would go out into the, actually destroyed parts of Yerushalayim and daven, daven right then and there so that Hashem would see that somebody was so upset about the destruction and that hopefully they would rebuild it. Right? So that's why he went out to the Chorva. And then Eliyahu came to him and he said, what are you doing? Right? So he says to him, well, first of all, what did he say? He said, I went inside to daven, right, to daven about the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. The Amarli Hayal Chali Palal Baderech, right? So Eliyahu responded to him. You shouldn't have been davening about rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash. You should have been davening about the Derech, about the fact that Bnei Yisrael is going on this long exile right now. You should have been praying for their welfare along in Galut, not necessarily about the rebuilding, because we're not at that stage yet where we were able to rebuild. We're still going through the Galut. So you should have prayed that their time through Galut would have been easier. Okay. The Amarti lo tira haiti shema yisiku bi avrei derachim. I was scared that maybe people who were going along the way, i.e. the other nations of the world would have caused us harm along the way. So therefore, I wanted to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash right now, so we wouldn't have to go through the whole journey. We could have just rebuilt the Beit HaMikdash. The Amarli hayal chali palal tefillah k'sara. Right, really, you should have been praying a short tefillah, because if you really wanted to daven about the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash, you would have been davening forever. You can't put an end to how much we should be praying for the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash. So it should have just been a tefillah k'sara. You shouldn't have been davening a long tefillah, because then you're at some point you're gonna have to stop it. So if you make a very short tefillah, so that'll show that you just didn't have time to do the whole thing. But really, we should be davening forever for the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash. So that was just a nice way to, understand that Agadita there. Interesting. Okay, fine. Let's go on. V'amar li b'ni, right? Eliyahu said to him, Makol shamata b'chorva. What did you hear when you were inside the chorva? V'amar di lo shamati ba kol. I heard a voice. She minahemet kiyona, that was cooing like a dove. The Amarti, oila banim shibit avonoteam irchavti et beti, right? Because of their sins, I destroyed my house, v'sarafti et heichali, I burnt my heichal, the haglidim lebeina umon, and I sent them out to the other nations of the world. The amarli chayacha v'chay rashacha, right? This is a chayacha v'chay rashacha is a term of shvua. He's, you know, I swear on your name, on your life, and on the, you know, the life of your head. Lo shah zo bilvad omerikach, el b'chol yom v'yom shalosh pamim omerikach. Right? It's not just this one time where this you know, buckhole comes out. It's three times yom v'yom. So Marsha actually explains that not only does this buckhole take place at night, but also the fact that it says yom v'yom here, it takes place three times at night and also three times during the day. That's how the Marsha explains that. Shalosh pamim. Amerikach, v'lo zo bilvad, el b'shash Yisrael nechansim l'batei knisiyot, l'batei midrashot, right? At times where you know, B'nai Yisrael goes into shuls, into batei midrashot, ve'oni nihesh mei ha'gadol mevorach, right? They answer, I guess, in Kaddish, yihesh mei rabbi mevorach olam omeo maya. HaKaddish Baruch Hu, minah ne'er rosho, Hashem shakes his head, ve'omer ashrei ha'melach, Hashem remembers the times where all of Bnei Israel used to gather and say these things, and he says, you know, praise is the king who actually gets to hear his people say this in his house. Right? What is it to a father who's you know, kicked out his children? And oy to the children that have been sent out from their father's table. So we'll finish here for tonight, and Shkach.